night's message will be how to avoid being brought down by a fool. How to keep from being brought down by a fool. I think if an individual were to pay attention, you could easily realize that if you went to a place where there were people that were sick and they had communicable diseases, and you walked in the area and you found they were coughing, they were sneezing, people had chills, they had all kind of things going on, that if you walked in that area and you stayed in that area without the right kind of protection, you would come down with the same kind of disease or the same kind of symptoms. I believe that if you were to think about it, when the people had leprosy, they would quarantine the people with leprosy so that that would not spread. But there's a disease that goes on in the mind of man, or a leprosy that comes mentally that an individual does not even think about, and that is a disease or the leprosy of associating with a fool without the right protection. And when an individual does that, associate with the fool without having the right protection, that individual is apt to come up with some of the same maladies, the same problems, and no doubt that individual could come up to the same place or come to the same place where he himself is a fool. Let's look at how this scripture unravels itself here in Proverbs chapter 14. How to keep oneself from being brought down by a fool. Every wise woman buildeth her house, but the foolish plucketh it down with her hand. If you notice, it talks here about a woman that is wise. That individual woman, she has the ability to build up, cause her house to be established, causes her house to be able to be stable. And she says that a wise woman, this is the character of a wise woman, she builds her house, but the foolish woman, with her own hands, what does she do? She tears it down. Because of the fact there's no wisdom in her, she breaks it down, she destroys her home, and I would submit to you, the same thing will happen with a man. A foolish man will destroy his own home. He'll many times go out and cheat on his wife. Many times he will not bring his income home. He'll bring all type of confusion into his home, and Lord have mercy, the man, before he destroys his home, will destroy his life. He will build his house on wickedness. He will build his house on folly. He will not be used to listening to things that will cause him to benefit. Often he will feel he has wisdom when the wisdom does not exist, and because of that, he will tear down his life, she will tear down her life, and that same thing will be transferred to the home. That's a powerful scripture there, but it doesn't stop there, because wise man Solomon was given some small little encapsulations of wisdom. Verse 2 says, "He that walketh in his uprightness feareth the Lord. But he that is perverse in his ways despises him." If you want to know something about a person, look at what the Word of God has to say about different people in different situations. Now, in this situation, the Scripture says explicitly, "He that walketh in his uprightness feareth the Lord." Why is that? Because this individual knows that if I go outside of the boundaries of what God has, if I violate God's holy and righteous principles, then what I have done in that process is that I have caused God's anger, I will have caused God's judgment to come upon me. Yet, within that same fear, if I'm not violating God, I have a reverence for his awesome power. I have a reverence for his majestic beauty. I enjoy the ability to know that this God that I serve has the ability not only to create everything, to make everything, to cause every functionality of the world to function, whether it's the carbon cycle, whether it's my circulatory system. I just revere and fear the Lord, and I walk in my uprightness because he's worthy. But the scripture says that he that is perverse, he that is crooked in his ways, he despises him. An individual that does not walk in God's ways, an individual that is wicked, ungodly, unrighteous, self-centered, arrogant in his mind and his thought processes, what does he do? He scorns God's ways. He despises God's ways. He has contempt for God. He has disdain for God. He does not hold God in high regard. And when an individual does not hold God in high regard, that same individual despises God because God is intrinsically tied to his way. So the comparison is here. An upright man is going to be that way because he loves God and because he has a fear and a respect, because he does not, he's afraid to cross the boundaries, but yet at the same time, he also has a high regard for God as who he is. He has not diminished him. But the one that is perverse in his ways will not want to have God's words on his lips. He will not want to have God's knowledge in his heart because he has a despise, and despite all that God has done, this man will not regard it. Verse number 3 says, in the mouth of the foolish is a rod of pride. I submit to you that what Solomon says right here, in the mouth of the foolish, that man has a rod or a branch or a twig. That man that's foolish, he has something that can attack people. He has something in his mouth that can start some trouble with people, and that is a rod of pride. You see, the mouth of the foolish is where he lets you know where he is. Often you can tell a person is foolish by how they live. But long before you get a chance, many times, to realize how a person lives, you can watch how they conduct themselves. If you watch how a person conducts himself with his mouth, what is he saying? Is he proclaiming a knowledge that he does not have? Is this individual proclaiming that he's righteous in spite of what God has to say? Is this individual saying that it doesn't matter what's right or what is going on before me? I make my own way. You determine what's right for you. I determine what's right for me. We cannot know what God has to say because everybody has their own opinion or their own interpretation. I submit to you that in the rod of pride, that individual that has just said everybody has their own interpretation and you cannot know what God says. The rod of pride is saying that this person said that I know enough about everything. I know enough about God and his word that I can tell you that there's no truth to be found. And I can tell you that you will never know what God's ways is and what he wants. And this is going to cause them to fall. Because in the mouth of the foolish is the rod of pride. But listen to the contrary to this. But the lips of the wise shall preserve them. The words, the things that the lips form to say of the wise will preserve them. Why is that? Because the wise are going to be able to have control over their mouth. They're going to be saying the things that are worthwhile. They're going to be saying things that help build somebody up. They're going to say things that keeps God from being able to come on them because his wrath is coming upon the proud and the blasphemous. And so the lips of the wise shall preserve them. Not only preserve them when you come to dealing with God, it's going to preserve you in this life. Bless his everlasting name. How does this play out in our everyday life? Watch a person that always has something to say, whether it's right or wrong. I just got to say it. That's just the way I am. That's just the way I just can't change from who I am. And it doesn't matter if I'm right or wrong. That individual with that rod of pride will not even listen to the lips of the one that has wisdom, but the one with the lips of wisdom, I'm trying to seek to find out what God wants, how I can establish myself, how I can draw closer and closer to him, and that is a preservation of the wise. And that's how it works out in this life. But verse number 4, it seems like it just changes subject altogether, but I want you to see that there is some sort of a cohesion here. Verse 4 says, where no oxen are, the crib is clean. But much increase is by the strength of the ox. Where no oxen is, there's no feces. There's no, over. You don't have anything that you got to clean up out of the crib. Oh, but when you have much increase, it says by much increase is by the strength of the ox. Do you want what you need? Do you want to be able to produce? Do you want to be able to have something to create a profit for yourself? Then you are going to have to do some things that will cause you to have to clean up. We're talking about in an agricultural society. You would need to have you some oxen to do the work. Because if you have the oxen, although you have to clean up behind them, there is much increase by the strength of the ox. If an individual wants to avoid profit, then you don't have anything. But if an individual is trying to have something, then that individual must go ahead and say, I must produce by some means or some method, some way I have to go out and do some work. And in this case, it's with the ox. Purchase me some oxen. Let the oxen go out and work. Feed the oxen, come back in. Yes, they're going to use the bathroom. Yes, they're going to do what animals do. But I'm telling you, they're going to give you more than what you are putting out in your cleaning. However, when it comes to our lives, many times an individual don't want to study. They don't want to learn to be wise. And their little brain is clean. Not clean in the sense of righteous, but I'm saying it's not filled with the jewels of wisdom. It's not filled with the jewels of knowledge. It's not filled with the knowledge of God's word. And so that individual has not tried to see if he's going to grow with the Lord. His mind is clean. Oh, but much increases by the strength of the ox. Sees knowledge and wisdom as the ox. When that individual learns the wisdom of God, learns the knowledge of God, that individual puts himself in a position to do what God has them to do. Yes, there'll be some things to clean up. Yeah, there'll be some problems in your life, but rest assured, much increases by walking and knowing God's will. That other individual that has nothing, he will languish and will be brought down to poverty and destruction. The same thing is with the mind that does not determine that it wants to increase. You're going to be brought down to poverty and destruction. Because we are still all held accountable for knowing and doing something in this world. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Let me get verse number 5. Now you see how this stuff fits? Wisdom and knowledge increase in poverty. Verse number 5. A faithful witness will not lie, but a false witness will utter lies. When it says a faithful witness will not lie, this individual is faithful, this individual is true, this individual is doing what is necessary to be dependent upon. So a trusty witness in time of court, a trusty witness will not lie. But a false witness, somebody that's untrustworthy, a person that's going to try to bring you down, that person will utter lies. So the scripture is telling this individual, what kind of person can be depended on? And what kind of person cannot be depended on? A faithful witness is one that's wise, and he will not lie. But a false witness, you can't depend on him. He will utter lies, whoever gives the highest bid, or even to keep himself out of trouble. 6 says, a scorner seeketh wisdom and findeth it not. But knowledge is easy to him to understand it. Now, that right there, scripture could be problematic for somebody, but I'm going to tell you what this means. A scorner, one that boasts upon his knowledge, one that will say I'm more than what I should be, one that thinks that he knows, one that despises someone that knows something differently than him. The scripture says a scorner will seek wisdom and find it not. When a scorner seeks wisdom and don't find it, that means he's still looking, but he's looking in all the wrong places. And almost like me trying to find a PhD in a nursery school. I can go and try to find a PhD in a nursery school, but it is not to be found. There are no doctorate degrees given in nursery school. But it says that but knowledge is easy to him that understands. One that has understanding, one that has the ability to know, that individual is able to understand. Knowledge is easy to him that understands. Why does the understanding come? With the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the holy is understanding. Everybody cannot benefit from the wisdom of God because to some people they despise it, and some people, they mock it. And God's not pleased with that. Again, a scorner seeketh wisdom, but where? get from the wrong places, and he will hold on to it. The Bible talks about that. It talks about that in 2 Timothy. It talks about how Jannes in chapter 3 and Jambres, they withstood Moses. And he said, these men of corrupt minds, they're ever learning, but they're never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Listen to how the scripture, this is verse 7. This is one that I've been guilty of. Lord have mercy. This is where I got the title of this. Verse 7 says, go from the presence of a foolish man when thou perceivest not in him the lips of knowledge. And this Proverbs chapter 14, verse 7, got something powerful here. It says, go from the presence of a foolish man. Leave the presence of a foolish man. Get away from the presence of a foolish man. Get out of the company of a foolish man. When you perceive in him, you don't perceive it in the lips of knowledge. When someone has a doctrine against God's eternal word, when someone is telling you how to steal to get ahead, when somebody is telling you to do violence when you shouldn't do violence, and you are around that person that says, leave the presence of a foolish man, when you perceive not in him the lips of knowledge. Some men would tell you to go run around with a woman, go cheat on your wife, go get you some eye candy, go to the strip club, go and beat somebody out of something. Go and just, it don't matter what God say, you live like you want to, the Lord will forgive you. The Bible is saying, go from the presence of a foolish man when you perceive him not in him the lips of knowledge. Randall, I tell you, there was a time I listened to a man tell me that God flood from Noah was not a real flood. It was just a little flood. That wasn't a list of wisdom. And I let it hang around. And then the scripture also tells us that Adam was the first Adam. And you would listen to different things that people would say. And over you try to help a person. But the Bible says, go from it. Now, I don't know at the time when you realize that it's time to go, but you can't let something keep hanging on because, as I said when I first started this, is that if you knew somebody had disease, leprosy, a communicable disease, one of those kind of diseases like TB, you would not want to be in the room with that person without proper protection. You would not want to be around that person without a mask or something so you could catch that disease. Well, the Bible is saying here, when you are around a foolish person, you need to treat that person like they have disease and get away from it when you perceive them not in the lips of knowledge. Jesus said something similar.
Yeah.
Cast not your pearls before the swine, lest they trample them under their feet and rend you. He said, give not that which is holy as a dog, lest they turn again and tear you. It's imperative that we start to realize that everybody does not want the truth in their life. And we may not be the one to give it to them, no matter how much we want to. Listen to verse 8. The wisdom of the prudent is to understand his way, but the folly of fools is deceit. The wisdom of those that have understanding, the wisdom of those that know how to take care of business, those that have ability to be shrewd and crafty, is to understand what he's doing. To understand his way, to learn about life and what you're doing and how you're trying to get there. But it says the folly of fools is deceit. You'll meet people in your life that feel like they know when they don't and they're going downhill. Things will have cost them money. Things will have cost them time in prison. Things will have cost them marriages. Things will have cost them of their family. And do you understand that they will still deceive themselves to feel like it's somebody else's fault? Sometimes they'll blame it, well, it's the government's fault. It's the white man's fault. It's my mama's fault. It's my daddy's fault. Sometimes you got to realize it's yourself. I was comfortable being lazy. I didn't want to do better because, rest assured, almost out of every neighborhood or every person, there's somebody in your group or somebody in your neighborhood that grew up and made somebody themselves that you knew that they wasn't much better than you. So sometimes you'll be like, man, so-and-so-and-so, a doctor, but so-and-so got that good job. Man, we used to beat him up. A man, I never would have thought he would have been nothing. And you're looking at it, man, it's like, wow. Wow. A fool will not want to understand his ways. He'll love deceit. And the worst deceit is when you deceive yourself that I can't. is, this is the best for me, or that I'm pleasing God even when I know I'm not. And you better not die. You better not die deceiving yourself. Because there is a God that's going to judge the quick and the dead. Verse number 9 tells the story about the fools. It says, fools make a mock at sin, but among the righteous there is favor. A man that does not like instruction, a man that does not like to understand God's word, they'll pick at, they'll make fun of sin. They'll make fun of when me, so they'll call people, oh, you're just Christian fundamentalist, or you're just doing things traditionally, or you think that you goody-two-shoes, you think you're better than us. You think, but I'm telling you now, like the guy told me, I'm going to live my life to the full. Don King said, I don't want my pie in the sky. I want mine on the ground when I'm around. Getting older now, and death is calling his name. The older you get, you hear it. Sometimes you almost feel like, oh, y'all almost got me today. And it's like, by the grace of God, I'm still alive. You ever had one of those days when it's like, I could have been dead? You ever been standing up one day or something happened and you just kind of pass out? You see stars or you get too hot and you realize, I better sit down right now and give me something cool to drink and be still. You ever had one of those days? If you hadn't, keep living. Keep dealing with that hot sun. Well, it says, fools make a mock of sin. And they make a mock of sin because they don't realize judgment is coming. It says, but among the righteous there is favor. Among the righteous, they don't make a mock of sin. And God gives them goodwill. God gives them grace. God gives them acceptance. Verse 10. The heart knoweth his own bitterness, and a stranger does not intermeddle with his joy. The Bible says that the heart knows his own bitterness. You can tell when you got sadness of your own. You can tell when something's wrong. Sometimes a man can look over his life and see what I've done with the years that I've had. The years, the months, the days. And he can look back over and say, you know, if I had gone to college 4 years, I could have had a bachelor's. They say if I wasn't really smart, I could have at least done it in 7 years. And then maybe in 5 more years, I could have had a doctorate degree or even 6. 13 years. 13 years from the time a man passed 18 or 19 would only put him at 32. But by the time he gets to be 50 and 60 and look back over his life, what have I done with it? How much money have I set up? Who have I helped? How is my bank account with God? If I die today, am I going to be fine? Well, the thing is that many times people don't think those thoughts, and it's almost time to die of cancer. And that's the folly of it. So it says a heart knows his own bitterness, and a stranger does not intermingle with his joy. Whenever an individual is sad, standing in there, don't go and take a surety. Don't go try to exchange and give a person that person's joy. They said a stranger does not intermeddle with his joy. When that says intermeddle, that word right there means to take a pledge, to undertake it, to give pledges. Leave that man whenever he has bitterness alone if he doesn't want to be helped. One of the things I'd like to do in this verse I think would be good is to, I want to read it in a different version and let it come out a little easier. Give me just a second to pull that version up. Okay, listen to this. The heart knows his own bitterness, and no stranger shares his joy. That's very enigmatic, isn't it? One of those kind of scriptures like, you got sorrow, you got bitterness, how can I have joy in that? How can I meddle with your joy? I can't come and make you have joy if you got bitterness. I can't come and just cheer you up. Sometimes the bitterness is too profound, and sometimes it's the life we live. But I can rest assured for you, if you're walking with God, God can cheer you up in the deepest moment. He can do it. I can't do it. Verse number 11 says, the house of the wicked shall be overthrown, but the tabernacle of the upright shall flourish. The house of the wicked. will be overthrown. Eventually, he's going to be overthrown because it's wicked. You're going to reap what you sow, one. Number two, you got to always deal with God who's going to execute judgment. But it says the tabernacle of the upright, the tabernacle, the dwelling place, it shall flourish. Why is that? Because God is going to bless it. Because God is in the midst. I submit to you that if you were to take that thing down to as a little kernel, you could say that the life of the wicked shall be overthrown. Some way or the other, they're going to be overthrown. They're going to be laying in the box with their hands folded over their chest, some way dead, and their life is going to be overthrown because their life many times was just a waste, was an absolute waste. God got no glory. God got no honor out of it. And rest assured, he don't want nobody raised from the ground that did not give him glory and honor while they were living. He said they're going to be overthrown. But the tabernacle of the dwelling place of the upright shall flourish. It doesn't matter if you die. If your life was built on righteousness and uprightness, the Bible says in Revelation chapter 20, and I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were open. And another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to those things which were written in the book. Blessed is everlasting name. But before it even got to that 12th verse, the 5th verse says, blessed and holy is he that has part in the first resurrection. For of such the second death has no power. There shall be priest of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. You want to live with God? You want to reign with him forever? Walk uprightly. Verse 12 says, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Have you lived long enough to see somebody that lived a wicked life? Have you lived long enough to see somebody that was a bully? Have you lived long enough to see somebody that enjoyed drugs? Have you lived long enough to see somebody that enjoyed robbing people, somebody that didn't love God, and they just enjoyed life the way that they wanted to enjoy it, and you see the end of their life that they already did, many times been dead 10, 20, 30 years because they wouldn't listen to anybody? The Bible says there is a way that seems right to a man. Many times that'll be a different religion. You don't want to follow God? Fine. You want to be an atheist? Fine. It seems right to a man. But see, the issue is not what seems right to man. The issue is what is right in the eyes of God who created man. And so when man follows his own idea of righteousness, it has to be death because it automatically, by virtue of not being what God wants, fights against what God wants. And that's a fight we can't win. The next verse says, even in laughter, the heart is sorrowful, and the end of mirth is heaviness. It says, even in laughter, the heart is sorrowful. You can have all the fun you want to. If you're not walking with God, rest assured, sorrow. Sorrow is going to bother you. Sorrow is going to come your way. If you just live against God and think you're having all the fun in the world, it's not going to work like that. Because, number one, you have violated the one who is not to be violated. So you have your fun. Do what you're going to do. But there's a judgment coming. And so even in laughter, the heart is sorrowful, and the end of mirth is heaviness. Don't they have your party? Go on and have your celebration, have your gladness, have your pleasure, have your rejoicing. But if you're not with God, rest assured, at the end. I've seen older men that have had a lot of fun and watch them on their last few days before they go out of here. When they get to really thinking about, I can go. When your life is winding down. When you can't bend like you used to. When you can't run and jump like you used to. When you can't get up out of the seat like you used to. And the time is coming. Oh, yeah. Oh, I'd be like, oh, man, I remember when I was young, and we used to have no young girls, and we used to go out there, and we were drunk and get fighting, and we would go, oh, yeah, that all that mirth and fun. What about now? Look at how you decrepit many times you are. You cannot violate God's eternal will and have standards, and it'd be okay. 16 says, the backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways. That's a sad thing to have to hear. The backslider, the individual that decides they just want to do things their way, they want to go against God, the backslider in his heart shall be filled with his own ways. He's going to get to do what he want to do, someone, something that gets tired of. And that's a sad thing. And when you get to do what you want to do so much that you're tired of it, and you realize, I wasted time. I wasted my life. The backslider is going to be filled with his own ways. Not only that, but he's going to get the consequence that God said or promised that he would give. But it says, and a good man shall be satisfied from himself. A good man. Do you realize when you make your mind up, I'm going to do what God says because it's important to me what God says, that ought to be enough? Even if the world don't join you, even if 15 to 20 people don't join you, if you're walking with God, you ought to be able to be satisfied with yourself. Having God's praise on your life ought to be worth more than having 50,000 people clapping and singing and jumping every time you walk in the room. It ought to be better than if you walk down the street and all the dogs and the cats stand together and clap their hands. And if the ants stand up and give you a parade when you walk by. Having God to be pleased with you ought to be worth more than any accolade you can get from nature itself. Some people don't get it. But a good man shall be satisfied from himself. Verse 15 says, the simple believeth every word, but the prudent man looketh well into his going. The simple. What do you mean by the simple? It means an individual that is foolish, an individual that is naive, too open-minded. He believes every word, and most of the time they believe every word from the wrong people. But it says the simple believe every word, but the prudent man looketh well to his going. I'm going to check you out. I'm going to see what you're about. I'm going to see if you test it. I'm not going to just let you work on my car because you say you can work on my car. I'm not going to let you just take my tooth out because you say you're a dentist. How I know you're a dentist? And who else has done some work with you before? Where's your office? Let me see. Somebody work for you? If you see the simple, they'll buy drugs off somebody off the street that they don't even know. Somebody ain't even going to school to even deal with drugs. And you out here buying drugs from somebody and smoking it with your mouth. Don't tell me you're not a fool and you simple. The simple believe every word. That's why so many churches get built up. That's why so many people get caught up in religion. That's why so many people throw their money away in different kinds of stocks and funds and investments and get scammed. The simple believe every word, most of the time except the good ones. But the prudent, those are the wise. They look well. They're going to investigate. Verse 16 says, a wise man feareth and departeth from evil. Do you know how important that is? That a wise man will have the fear of God, and I will get away from evil. I'll get away from evil in my own heart. I'll get away from evil from my family. I'll get away from evil from my friends. I'll see evil going on, and I'm going to get away from it because evil is not what I want to be tied up in. And it says, a wise man feareth and departeth from evil, but the fool rages and is confident. A fool. Let me tell you something. You can either learn something that's wrong, and you can depart from it because you're wise. But it says, a fool, that person is stupid like that. It says he rages. That means he just go on the cross. He just go on by, I'm bold. I'm bold, Randall. They out there shooting. And sometimes a person, they out there shooting, a wise person, they shoot, man, I better get in the house. I might need to lay on the floor. Fool, I'm going to go see. I'm going to see what they doing out there. I want to see what happened here. I like to see a good fight. What's up with that? That's foolish. Well, same thing happens many times. People go to different places where wickedness is going on, and they keep going, and they get caught up in a situation. But you see that a lot of times in that verse 16, remember, when it says a wise man fears and departed from evil, there's some relationships people should have never gotten into. But they go on. No, this person ain't right. No, but I did like something about this person. And instead of getting away from them, they hang on in there. But a fool just goes on and is confident. And then by the time they get stripped down, by the time they start hurting, by the time they realize this person is not good for them, maybe have beat it down, took the money, or whatever, now they say it. Well, verse number 17 is like this. He that is soon angry dealeth foolishly, and a man of wicked devices is hated. A man that gets angry too fast, the Bible says he deals foolishly. He doesn't really think things out. He doesn't count the cost. He doesn't look at the consequences. He gets so angry. It says many times. And well, they didn't say many times, but this is what it's saying. Many times, that individual that is so angry, he goes and he produces something that's foolish quickly. That's what he'll do. But it says a man of wicked devices or wicked adventures, things that he come up with his mischievous plot, is hated. An individual is always up to no good, trying to hurt somebody, bring them down. It doesn't matter if he's a landlord or whatever. He's hated. And I'm telling you something now. That when people hate you, somebody makes something happen. The Bible says, verse 18, the simple inherit folly, but the prudent are crowned with knowledge. The simple and the foolish, they inherit. That's what they get. That's their inheritance. Just like when somebody dies and leaves you an inheritance, and you get it because this is what you get, I mean, given to you because you're in a family. Well, if you're in the family of the simple, your inheritance is folly, foolishness, something will cause you to be brought down, something that will hurt you and destroy you. But the fruit of those that are crafty, those that are wise, those that are shrewd, those people are crowned, just like an inheritance, they are crowned. They come up with, they are surrounded by, they are encircled by knowledge. And knowledge is the very thing that we need in this day. We need the knowledge of God, and we need the knowledge how to survive so that we can be productive in what God would have us to be. Verse 19 says, the evil bow before the good, and the wicked at the gate of the righteous. The evil bow before the good, and the wicked at the gate of the righteous. When Solomon was king, the wicked did not want to come before him because they knew that they would be uncovered. They knew that the righteous would deal with it, especially when they're in charge. So even if we don't get to see it in this day, that the wicked bow before the good or at the gates of the righteous, when the righteous judge of whom all the earth will bow, his name is Jesus the Savior, they are going to bow, every knee is going to bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father, and they will bow at the gates of judgment. But many times in our lives, that we conduct ourselves in such a way, sometimes people even humble themselves under us. Verse 20 says, the poor is hated, even of his own neighbor, but the rich have many friends. Many times the poor has not done anything other than be poor. And he's despised. Many times he is hated. And he has enemies of the people that live next to him, his neighbor, his companion. Because people, if they don't see that you can benefit them, rest assured, many times those individuals will find a reason not to be with you, and they will hate you. But it says the rich has many friends. That means it could be family, it could be sexual relations, it could be people that want to befriend him, to be around him, but they can get what they want, they believe, from this person. Verse 21 says, he that despises his neighbor sinneth, but he that has mercy on the poor, happy is he. If you got a problem with your neighbor, you despise your neighbor, you look down on the person that God's created, you despise your neighbor, you have no call, you're looking down on him, he says, you sin. You have contempt. You got to learn to love people. But it's but he that has mercy on the poor, that individual that has a good eye, that will have mercy. If he needs to help him, he will. He says, happy is this person. Not only happy because you did it, but because God will reward. Verse 22. Do not they err that devise evil, but mercy and truth shall be to them that devise good. Those that devise evil, they err from the way of the Lord. They go from the straight path. But it says to them that devise good and mercy and truth is as though that it says, but mercy and truth shall be to those that devise. In other words, the individual that looks for truth, the individual that want to do good, the individual that want to show mercy, that's going to come back to them. And not only that, they devise good, so many things that they try to implement come to be. Verse number 23 says, in all labor there is profit, but talk of the lips tendeth only to penury. What does that mean, penury? That means lack, need, poverty, or want. In all work, there's profit. When you go out there and you work and you provide for yourself, there's profit. You may go out there with $2 in the morning, they may come back with $100 extra, come back with $70, they may come back with $50, they may come back with $300. It says in all labor, there's profit. But talk of the lips is nothing. It'll make you broke. Well, you know, I wanted a good job, but, you know, they wouldn't hire me. I can't work at McDonald's. I can't sweep the street. I can't wash the car. I can't. But you got all that talk. Well, I'm going to buy me this. It says talk only will make you broke. It's the same way I almost said it. Talk is cheap. Verse 24. The crown of the wise is their riches, but the foolishness of fools is folly. The crown of the wise, the crown, the very thing that a person will put on their head like a wreath, a thing that lets you know that they're royalty. It says the crown of the wise. It says the crown of the wise is their riches. Individual that has made himself, you know, enough to have wealth, or somebody has given him wealth. It says it's their riches. But the foolishness of the fool is folly. Do you understand that there are times that a man can live his life in such a way that he becomes wise and God blesses him with wealth that he didn't get dishonestly? And that's his crown. That doesn't mean it's his ultimate crown. And in some cases, when an individual has gathered that because he has worked and he has done this, he said, but that same person could have done the opposite and been a fool, and said the foolishness of fools is folly. They don't want to hear instruction. That's why they're a fool, because they practice foolishness. Two people, one person could have been either one. He could have been wise, or he could be a fool. It's the way you take instruction. It's the way that you seek to have knowledge to determine which one you will be. Verse 25 says, a true witness delivereth souls, but a deceitful witness speaketh lies. This is so true. Do you realize a true witness in a court can get a person delivered from death, from a death penalty, having to pay a fine? But a deceitful witness speaks lies. A deceitful witness can say, yeah, he did it. A deceitful witness says, I saw him. But when you really want to look at this and see how deep this can go, Randall, a true witness will tell you that God does not play. A true witness will tell you that God is not the one to be played with, and that he will execute judgment. But a deceitful witness, he'll say, no, he doesn't. God understands. God loves you just like you are. You don't have to change. You don't have to change. A true witness, he can deliver your soul. But a deceitful witness can help damn your soul by the sweet lies. Verse 26 says, in the fear of the Lord is strong confidence, and his children shall have a place of refuge. If a man knew totally how to fear God like he should, and be afraid of the Lord, be afraid of crossing his boundaries, be afraid of second guessing the Lord, and reverence God for his awesomeness, for his majestic power, that individual would have strong confidence because he's not scared of anybody. He's not trying to please anybody but the Lord. And it says that his children shall have a place of refuge. Why? Because you've taught your children the right way. You've taught them how to stand strong. You've taught them how to be blessed by the Lord God Almighty, blessed forever. Verse 27 says, the fear of the Lord is a fountain of life, and depart from the snares of death. The fear, as I spoke about just a moment ago, of the Lord, is where your life will be. It's where your sustenance will be. And the part, let me tell you what it does, it keeps you away from death's gravity, calling your name too fast. Verse 28 and 29 says, in the multitude of people, the king is the king's honor, but the want of people is the destruction of the prince. He that is slow to wrath is of great understanding, but he that is hasty of spirit exalteth folly. Listen to what it says. In the multitude of people is the king's honor. Somebody holds him up. Somebody gives him honor. Someone says, Your Highness. Someone comes when he says, Come. Someone goes when he says, Come. And in the multitude of people is honor. I remember when King Solomon, Queen of Sheba came to see him and saw all those people. That was honorable that people followed him because he was a leader. But in the want of people is the destruction of the prince. You have no defense. You have no honor, and nobody's really following you. That will bring you down as so-called a prince, and nobody's following you. You're the prince of what? The prince of naught. But verse 29 says, he that is slow to wrath is of great understanding. An individual that is slow, that does not want to come out there and just jump on you right away, he that is slow to wrath, that individual that's trying his best not to just break you all the way in half and tear you up, he said he is of great understanding. It says, well, listen to this part. But he that is hasty of spirit exalteth folly. You find someone that gets angry really quick, and you will see how quick they lift up folly, how quickly they show you foolishness. Sometimes they roll their neck, sometimes they curse somebody else, sometimes they cut, sometimes they shoot, but they exalt folly. Verse 30 says, a sound heart is the life of the flesh. But envy, the rottenness of a bone. A sound heart, a good heart, is the life of the flesh. If you're talking about you got a good ticker, that's what you're talking about. That's the life of the flesh. It pumps the blood through your body. A sound heart, a heart that's toward God, it pumps God's word, his spirit through you. We're talking about the middle heart now. It's the life of your flesh. If you want to have a healthy body, have a healthy heart, you want to have a healthy life with God, have a healthy heart, a heart that's been renewed by God, a heart that's not made of stone but of flesh, but envy the rottenness of a bone. You want to have covetous and envy somebody, you can't ever be pleased, you can't ever be happy, it's going to wear you out. The Bible says it's rottenness to the bone. It'll make you just a sorry piece of mess. It'll make you the kind of person people don't even want to be around. And they are right for not wanting to be around you. Verse number 31 says, he that oppresses the poor reproaches his maker, but he that honors him has mercy. You want to do something to hurt the poor? You feel like because you take advantage of them? The Bible says you make a reproach against his maker, who is God. But the Bible says God honors you who have mercy on the poor. You got mercy. You got some benevolence. You want to be treated graciously. The Bible says if you show favor and grace to, favor to them, God will give you honor. Verse 32 says, the wicked is driven away in his wickedness, but the righteous has hope in his death. The wicked is driven away in his wickedness. God deals with him, but the righteous has hope in his death. I talked about that. Even when you die, you can live again. Even when you die, you know God's got something for you. Verse 32 says, wisdom rests in the heart of him that has understanding, but that which is in the midst of fools is made known. Wisdom is hidden in the heart if you have understanding. It tells you when to act, when not to act. Everybody don't see it. They don't necessarily know you have it until you exhibit it. But it says, but that which is in the midst of fools is made known. That which is in the midst of fools, they exalt it, they make it known, and people see it. But whereas wisdom, people don't all the time see your wisdom. And if it's there, it's there. Verse 34 says, righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Righteousness, godliness will lift up a nation. It would lift up the United States if we would be righteous. But sin is a reproach to any people. It don't matter who we are. Whether it's individually, or whether it's a whole state, or country, or government, or whatever, the Bible says it is a reproach. It's a reproach to any nation that's wicked. Last verse. The king's favor is toward a wise servant, but his wrath is against him that causes shame. That ought to be scary. Why is that, Tim? This is written by a king. And it says a king's grace or favor is toward a wise servant, one that will act right, one that will do right. David was a wise servant to Saul, even though Saul was wicked. But it says the king's favor is toward a wise servant because he won't let him down. He will uphold his name. He will uphold the throne. But his wrath is against him that causes shame. The king's wrath will be against someone that is shameful, that causes the king to be embarrassed, that will not show the king up for as good as he is. And I want you to understand, Jesus being the King of Kings, the king's favor is toward a wise servant that will do it on his word and his will. But his wrath is against those that cause shame. You want to cause the shame to the gospel? You want to cause the name of God to be blasphemed? Say you're a good man. Say you're a good man. Say you're a Christian. And don't follow God's word. And God's wrath, the Bible says, against you that cause shame. I thank the Lord for this chapter. It was good. It had a lot of juice in it. And I just want to know if there's someone that would like to have something to say on this chapter before I turn the recording off for the night. Ram, you got anything? What about you, my friend? Any of you ladies on the conference line have anything you'd like to say or add?
No, I just appreciate Proverbs because it taught me how to discern between good and evil. It taught me how to, I appreciate Proverbs because when I read it, it taught me how to discern the spirit. It taught me how to discern between good and evil. It taught me how to recognize a wicked person. It taught me how to recognize a good person. And also it taught me how to be a better person. So it was good.
Well, I'm glad because this 14th chapter had a lot of juice in it. And were you with us when we first started this chapter tonight?
No.
But when we first started this chapter, we were talking about the importance of how this chapter, how God's word of being wise would keep a person from being brought down by the foolish, how to be wise. And the theme was that I gathered from this is that if an individual will be wise, if an individual will stay away from the foolish and not let the foolish have influence over them, it will protect them from making foolish movements themselves. It will keep them from actually becoming a fool, and it will keep you away from the wrath of the foolish person whenever it's either brought on him and you're there, or whether the foolish person turns on you. And I use the illustration that if you were to go into a room with someone with tuberculosis or communicable diseases, if you weren't fully protected, you're going to come down with something. It's going to be able to bring you to the position where you're just as sick as those other people.
Right.
But if you're going to continue to be with the fool and the foolish and those that refuse instruction, somewhere along the line, some of their stuff, if you're not totally fortified, will rub off on you. And if it doesn't rub off on you, if you have other people that are with you that are not as fortified, they can bring that disease, that communicable disease, on others. And so often, one needs to move away from the foolish for the sake of others, even if they can withstand it for a while. And I was looking at that, and I thought how wise that is. Because even when you look in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 33, Paul says, "Be not deceived. Evil communication corrupts good manners." Is there anyone else on the conference line that would like to have something to say tonight on this chapter? Well, if not, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to close it down for tonight because I think that these chapters right here, they got enough in it that we could all benefit if that's what we were really trying to. because we would start watching our company even a little more close so that we all could benefit. Father, thank you for your blessed word. Thank you for your goodness, your power. Thank you for your grace. And I appreciate all of the wonderful things that you've done for us. Help us to walk in your power and your wisdom, I ask, in the blessed name of your holy child, Jesus. Amen.
I'm sorry. Okay.